Well, as promised, we've made our way across from the Hales Inn to whereabouts, Simon?
We're in the pump room.
We are indeed the pump room. We can detect the sulphurous smell in the background, which is great stuff. And we're speaking to the fabulous...
Diane Taylor.
And Diane, just share with us your official role here.
I'm the Audience Development Officer for the Museum Service in Harrogate and District.
So really ideal for our global listeners on podcasts who are listening to these audio postcards and want to find out a little bit more about some of these quirky items that we produce, really.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about where we are now in terms of the pump room. It's got such a wonderful sense of history from the medical side of things, taking the waters and so on. And indeed, as we were listening to your wonderful colleague on the desk there, in terms of the history of how the pump room itself has developed and expanded over the years.
Yeah, well, we're standing in the extension to the pump room at the moment. This was built in 1913 to accommodate the really growing numbers of visitors at that time, which you're talking maybe up to 15,000 people per summer or more. Through in the other room is the original 1842 pump room, which was built as somewhere to shelter the strong sulphur well in Harrogate, which is the kind of main well that was used. So there are actually over 80 different springs and wells within about 2 miles of this radius, which is what the reason Harrogate exists. There was no Harrogate before the first well.
It's the bath of the northeast, really.
It is the bath of Yorkshire, yes. Stronger water.
Precisely. I mean, talking about the water, I mean, I must admit, our producer did suggest we shouldn't try the water here, but I don't know if Simon feels particularly daring and wants to, because I noticed that on the front desk there, we've got the samples. I mean, what's your view on this one, Diane?
I think you have to try it once.
the smell is slightly putting me off at the moment, but just on the water itself here, what makes the sulphur so healthy for, you know, what attracts people to drink the water here over the years?
Well, you wouldn't find your doctor recommending it to you now because of the salt content is obviously quite high, and we now know that we don't want to take in too much salt. But at the time, they believed it cured a lot of different ailments, particularly maybe digestive ailments, skin disorders, which people will still use. You can buy kind of soaps and things. People will still use it for that and find it quite helpful. Gout. There's another one. And we do get people that come and fill up bottles each week and believe it helps.
So kind of one-stop shop off. You've been in the Hales Inn. You kind of make it, and obviously overindulge there with manifesting gout. You come over here to get cured. Then you're back to the Hales Inn again to take away the taste.
Well, yes, or you could try the Farrah's Toffee, which was specifically designed to take away the taste. You might not want it if you'd... might not help the stomach so much.
I'm not sure, Simon, whether this is actually attracting you to say, oh, yes, I'm going to go for
that. Not selling it to me too well at the moment, I must say.
Exactly. Okay, now we've also got lots of other exhibits here. We've talked about an Egyptian aspect that's coming across, but we're standing in front of a wonderful cycling exhibition here with penny farthings as well.
Yes, the reason we've got the bicycles on show is because the Cyclist Touring Club of Great Britain started in Harrogate in 1878, I think. I'd have to check. So that's why we have a selection of kind of old-fashioned bicycles, because of the link to the area.
And the Egyptology?
Is at the back. That was given to Harrogate Museums by two local men whose families collected objects. One was Benjamin Kent. His father, Bramley, did a lot of collecting of Egyptian antiquities at the kind of turn of the century, at the time that it became very popular. And then they had a kind of mini museum in their house, which you can see a picture of. And when Benjamin Kent died, he wanted to make sure that was kept. And so he gave it to the Museum Service. The other man was called James Roberts Ogden. Ogden's the Jewellers is still a jewellery shop in Harrogate. He was a jeweller who was invited over to Egypt to look actually in Tutankhamun's tomb. We haven't got anything from there, but he did collect some other lovely objects.
Presumably he didn't have a curse either that came across, given Howard Carter's experiences.
No, he seems to have done quite well. But we do have some internationally significant objects in that collection, such as our Anubis mask, which is the only one of its kind left.
One of the death masks, of course. I think Anubis, one of the Egyptian gods of death, is that right?
Yeah, he is a god of mummification, and the priest would wear that mask during the mummification ceremony.
Not just after taking the Harrogate's water as a sample size, no, obviously not. We hear a great deal about living history and museums coming into the 21st century. I mean, the sense that I get here is that you've managed to get a nice balance between genuine, authentic exhibits in an accessible manner and without necessarily going down the line of, dare I say, the Disneyfication of the museum?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously all museums do things differently, and we are actually in the process of rewriting some of these main panels about the spa history to replace those for the 21st century. It still will be text panels, but they'll just have a more modern look, like the, say, Egyptian exhibition does. And then we have a temporary exhibition of our social history. There's an exhibition all about the history of tea opening in there next weekend. And yeah, we do just go for the kind of toys and the colouring sheets and the activity trails.
Nothing wrong with those. They've provided acres of fun for many a broadcaster.
Children love them and adults love them. And what's very popular is always dressing up. We have some adult dressing up in the Egyptian.
Steady. So I really wasn't expecting this at this, but I mean, we've already had Simon modelling a sarong today. I don't know how we can go beyond that. Simon, any other questions?
I think I've had my taste of dressing up for the day. A little bit about the exhibition that's coming next week. You said about tea. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. We've actually got, because we run the Mercer Art Gallery, which is just across the road as well, and we've actually got two exhibitions opening next weekend about tea. The one across at the gallery is photographs from Rwanda, where tailors of Harrogate are working with the tea industry to try and improve the quality and the quantity of the tea coming from there as a major business export for the country. And so we thought alongside that we'd look at kind of the history of tea and when tea came to Britain and tea drinking and cafe culture over here. So we've got lots of different teaware. We've even got some archival material from tailors and some cakes from Betty's. Firmly kept away in a case, and another paraphernalia from Betty's to just talk about what is obviously kind of known as our national drink. And
in terms of the internationalisation of the museum and the globalisation, I sense an awful lot of tourists from America and beyond will probably find this just a fascinating snapshot of British cultural history.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's very British, isn't it? The idea of a Victorian spa town. I mean, obviously they were in other countries, but here it very much took off at that time. And so I think it does give a kind of very nice flavour of Britain of that time. And obviously Harrogate stemmed from that time, and there was a lot of wealth around, and the buildings and surroundings are very beautiful still.
And how did you get involved with the whole museum yourself, Diane? What was the life journey that brought you here?
An interest in history from school and a degree in history led to a master's in museum studies. I decided I wanted to kind of look at kind of interpreting an education side of trying to make people as enthusiastic as I was, particularly about our kind of social history. And I was lucky enough to get this job, which has broadened my knowledge to art, and we run Knaresborough Castle, so...
So it's one-stop shopping, all many of wonderful ways there. And a web address for this particular establishment, presumably. Obviously, we look at 21st century web-based things. How can people access this if they can't get directly to the museum today?
www.harrogate.gov.uk/museums will take you to our web pages.
Well, after perhaps not quite tasting the water from the pump room, and I can understand why, Simon.
The smell was bad enough. I'm not too sure we'd want to taste that.
Well, clearly we just need to psych ourselves up to that, possibly by actually visiting Farrow's beforehand. We're actually at Farrow's now. We're speaking to the delightful Hannah. Hannah, your official role here is?
I'm a shop assistant here.
Excellent. Now, I know you've been put into this interview because your manager has total confidence that you'll be able to cope with this, and I know you're absolutely right. Tell us a bit about Farrow's. As a store itself, it's been around for quite some time, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, yeah.
So how did you get involved with the whole thing?
I started about a year ago.
Okay.
And
never looked back. Now, I mean, I would have thought in many ways this is a dream job, really, because you got cuddly toys, you got lots of wonderful liqueurs, you've got lots of chocolatiers, and you wake up in the morning and pinch yourself and think, how did I actually get a job at Farrow's?
Yeah, we do, yeah. It's great working here, though, working with everything.
A range of customers presumably come in every day?
Yes, every day, yeah.
So what's your own personal favourite in terms of the fabulous things you got here?
All the sweets.
All of them, right. So do you, is that one of the perks of the job, that you get a chance to actually taste them as well?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Makes sense. Simon?
We just heard a customer come in looking for vegan chocolate. You obviously have lots of specialty chocolates. Is there a particular favourite you have?
Not really.
As long as it's made by Farrow, presumably.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense. And in terms of the rest of the team who are working with you today, you've been too shy to be interviewed. I mean, you've obviously stepped into that whole breach, etc. Would you actually give them some name checks?
Sorry?
Who else have you actually got working with you today?
Karen and Sandra.
Okay, that's ideal. Do they want to say a few words on it?
Karen?
No, sort of, yes, we just sort of invite them along. So it's very shy, very sort of personal, sort of working through this whole area here. Karen, good to see you. I'll just sort of come down from that point of view. Karen, do you have a particular favourite here in terms of sweets and things?
Probably the chocolate in the cabinet here.
That seems to be the... Nobody's actually going for the cuddly toys. I mean, I think these are wonderful little beasties here that's actually there. It's all great. So, again, how long have you been working at Farazza?
About 8 years now.
And do you find that even in the 21st century, people take the spa water, come over here and think, thank goodness, we've actually got some treats here?
They do, yes. Yes, they do. Try the toffee.
So it was the same in the sort of 18th century, 19th century, as is in the 20th and 21st century. We said try the toffee. I mean, I don't know. Simon obviously looking as though he needs some assistance. Is there a sort of chance of a tasting for Simon? What do you think?
There is, yes. We can get you some to try.
Well, Simon, are you up for that?
I think I could do better than I did with the water. Yes.
There we are. Excellent. And back to yourself, Hannah. And in terms of the routine itself, is there a web address for Farazza? Or you just Google the whole thing? Presumably there'll be a web presence somewhere along the line. Deep concentration there, which is work on here, and it is, of course,
whether that's any help, sales@farazza.com.
I think that's an email. Farazza.com will actually cover the whole thing perfectly. Listen, guys, I know we've landed on you totally unexpectedly. Well, not quite totally unexpectedly, but I think, Simon, if we had a round of applause, I think Hannah's done very well today.
I think they've done great.
Very done, guys. Marvellous.
Thank you.